Before the show starts, make sure you visit the Breakfast Store for all the sweet Breakfast merch, like the super comfy Breakfast t-shirts and the very dapper Breakfast coffee mugs. Go there now, breakfaststore.com.
People of Earth, if you can hear my voice, you have arrived at another episode of Breakfast with Brent Pope. I am your host, Brent Pope, and my guest today is actor Steve Moulton. You know him from projects like Young Rock and one of my favorite shows, I Think You Should Leave. Don't leave, guys. Stay and listen to the show because, you know, that's not all. We had breakfast at Bruxy's, which is in a train car. We're going to hear about a train car place that has chicken and waffles. So let's go. We have Steve Moulton today on Breakfast.
Pick it up.
Welcome to Breakfast with Brent Pope.
Breakfast.
This young lady just smashed the lids on all these cakes in the bakery section.
That could go on a Hallmark card.
My guest today.
Oh, I'm going to need to hear all about that.
I didn't need any extra sausage.
He adds character to my crew.
Is a goat pit a real thing?
What? Welcome to Breakfast with Brent Pope.
Great place to hang out and good food, too. I'm always playing blue-collar guys.
Breakfast. Somebody screw through the pipe.
I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilized the hydraulics.
I love a cruller. Yeah. All my uncles got the gout. Jalapeno / cheddar waffles.
Who doesn't love that? It's breakfast time.
Breakfast.
The only show where bacon, pancakes, Hollywood. I'm your host, Brent Pope.
Steve Moulton, welcome to the tiny studio LA in NoHo.
Thank you so much for having me. It's very fun in here.
I gotta say, the two of us, we ate at Bruxy's yesterday, and we could have sat in the train car, but I felt like you and I together were too much man for one train car.
Exactly.
It was a tiny train car.
Yes. Just from standing outside and looking into the door, I was like, oh, it doesn't look like a terribly spacious place.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys are fans of this show, I Think You Should Leave, we're going to talk about that. But like, this train car was made just for farts. A joke train car just for farts.
You're right about that. And for delicious food.
And
maybe for people with less shoulders than you and I.
Yeah, that's true. We are brawny gentlemen.
Yes.
Well, why don't we start off with our breakfast?
Yes.
Because I called it debaucherous. It's not, maybe it was gluttonous. I don't know. Maybe it's just a regular meal the guys had. I don't want to downplay us.
Yeah.
It was hearty. How about that? I probably had chicken and waffles in maybe a dozen places in LA. I think that's one of my favorites because both the waffle and the chicken were really good. Bruxy's was so good.
Very delicious.
Yeah, it was. It was just like nothing was dry. It was juicy. The other thing is, a lot of times you get chicken and waffles, and they feel like this is a couple different dishes together.
Yeah.
This felt like it was actually almost like when you have a breakfast burrito, you're not like, oh, there's weird eggs in my burrito. No, they belong in here. This all belonged. Had a nice sunny side up egg in there, too.
Yeah, I think mine had kind of a more over-easy-ish egg.
Oh, maybe that's what it was.
But
it was between the two.
Very tasty.
It was very good. I had something called the Holy...
The Holy Chicken?
And you had the bacon, egg, and cheddar.
I had a bacon, egg, and cheddar inside of a very delicious waffle.
Yeah.
Folded over. Very tasty.
And then we also had the...
Those tots.
Yeah. Kind of like fully loaded spicy tots.
Yeah.
Spice tots.
Crumbly bacon, if I'm not mistaken.
Crumbly bacon on it, which I was not even expecting. I was just thinking there's going to be a little hot sauce on this, you know?
Yeah. And by the way, I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but it rhymed, so... Wow.
We were very satisfied. Staff was could not have been more nice.
Yeah, very
also,
nice staff.
And then I had a thought. I was like, hey, Steve.
This is where the debauchery comes in.
This is where the debauchery. This is very light debauchery, if debauchery at all. But like, how would you feel about getting dessert?
Ooh.
Because around the corner is Republic of Pie.
Oh, yeah. And they let me sneak in my coffee cup.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll do that for everybody, but they didn't give me a hard time.
I saw a guy come up and go, excuse me. And then I go, that's Steve Moulton.
You're fibbing. You're making that up, Brent. Go on.
Okay, fine. They said, I think that's Steve Moulton. Just in case, let him keep his coffee.
You weren't even sure it was me? Is that what him?
I've seen what he can do to people's faces on Young Rock.
Oh, man. Oh, what a fun time that was.
We'll talk about that. We will talk indeed. About Young Rock. We'll talk about I Think You Should Leave.
Oh, yeah.
Two shows that I really love. Not only do we get that, we got our pie heated.
Oh, yeah.
And a la mode, as, you know, red-blooded Americans, we should.
Right. It's
needs
May.
Ice cream with. Yeah. It's May. Yeah, that's
get
right.
Pie a la mode.
You had the, which pie did you have?
I had blueberry peach.
Peach, yes. And I had,
delicious.
I had a little taste of it and It was nice. Like, the contrasting flavors of those two were a little tangy, and I loved it. And I had the similar strawberry rhubarb.
Oh, yeah. That was real good.
Big fan of the rhubarb. I wonder why there's not more rhubarbs and why it's always strawberry. That's what I always wonder. You could try rhubarb with so many different sweet things, and it would be delicious.
I feel like I've had rhubarb raspberry in years gone by.
Oh, raspberry seems kind of tart to me. It almost seems like rhubarb. Not as tart as rhubarb, but like, you know, something like sweet, like my mom used to make rhubarb peach, right? Ooh, which is much sweeter
than strawberries, you know, even. Maybe I just had rhubarb and I thought, kind of tastes a little like raspberry. Maybe that's what happened.
I mean, raspberry, blackberry, I could get down with that.
Because I know I've had rhubarb very few times in my life.
Yeah.
It's not an appetizing name for a food. Rhubarb.
Have you ever seen rhubarb? It's weird looking. Like, we used to grow it in our garden in Nebraska, right?
Yeah.
It basically looks like giant celery, but it's like reddish purple on the bottom.
Oh, then I have seen it.
Yeah.
That's rhubarb?
Yeah, that's rhubarb.
But it tastes so good.
Yeah, it's very sour. So you got to pair it up. You got to put a lot of sugar in it to make it not.
Oh, okay.
And then you got to add something else that's sweet that goes with it.
Okay.
But that's why I always think they should have like a sweet one to go along with it. Because it's like, you know, those lemon ricotta pancakes that everybody loves, right?
Yeah.
The ricotta is kind of sweetish, sweet cheese and the pancakes. And then you add the lemons and that's the sour and the sweet together. I mean,
I'm down for that.
I think that's what we learned from all these cooking shows on television now. We learn all the secrets, right? Like the salty and the...
Mix your salty and your sweet.
Malt, salty and sweet mixed together,
Add a beer, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, all those things. Anyway, thank you. That was really fun. Like, I'm going to call it like a breakfast crawl. We had a breakfast crawl.
We did. It was a crawl.
Yeah.
Two spots. Only one. We only had to park once.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they let me sneak my coffee in. I can't get over that.
Yeah.
Achievement of the weekend. I snuck my coffee in.
What if they just had a security guard outside of a Robloquai? I'm sorry, sir. You're going to have to finish that. Is that outside?
They should. I'm a big fan of the rule. Like, you don't bring outside food into a restaurant. But
I agree.
I had so much coffee left. I was like, I got to try.
Yeah, you got to try.
If they give me a hard time, I'll buy a drink from them, too.
Right. Yeah.
I was on Young Rock. I can afford the drink.
Oh, you got that Young Rock. That's Steve Moulton. Look, I know he's going to spend in here. He's got Young Rock money.
Or at least he had. Mm. Oh, heavens to Betsy. Heavens to Bruxy.
I saw it. Speaking of that exact phrase, I saw when I was working on somebody's short film one time, I saw somebody's life plan. I said, what is it? It said HVN2BTC. Heaven to Betsy.
Oh, that's adorable.
I was like, HVN2BTC. I was like, HVN2Betsy. Heaven to Betsy. Somebody got a vanity plate. This is Heaven to Betsy.
Oh, that's so cute. I saw one the other day that was just MTWTFSS, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday.
Wow.
Why would you get that on your license plate? Just the initials of the days of the week.
Did they have their pills that they had to take?
That I don't know.
On their license plate, taped to the license plate.
Maybe. It was a big black SUV, so.
Seems inefficient.
Seems very, keep your pills taped to your license plate.
We can't afford a calendar.
Yeah, that won't go wrong at all. They won't get gross dust all over them.
I forget what day of the work week it is, so I circle it on my license plate.
There you go. The cops constantly pull me over for defacing it.
That's right.
My own license plate.
Sir, someone has defaced your... Oh, no, that was me. Oh, that was you?
Yeah.
Here's your ticket.
Yeah, here's your ticket, because we can't read it as easily.
Well, thank you. That was a really fun breakfast.
It was very fun and delicious. I'm tempted to go back.
I will definitely go back at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, I could feel myself getting fatter, so it might be a little while.
I lost that feeling years ago, Brent. Years ago. I got weighed the other day, and I was like, much lower than I was expecting. All right.
Oh,
feeling good.
Good for you, man. That's awesome. Steve.
Yes.
I think you grew up somewhere on the East Coast.
Yes. Central Pennsylvania. People have tried to tell me that it is the South and that it is the Midwest. I refuse to accept that. It is north of the Mason-Dixon line.
Okay.
It is only 2 hours from Philadelphia, which touches the water, which makes it East Coast. So Pennsylvania, East Coast. Maybe you could argue that Pittsburgh is Midwest, but it's within the same state, and it's certainly Northeast. But yeah, oh boy, I've been out here, and some people have been like, oh, the South? And I'm like, no, Pennsylvania is not the South. Thank you very much. It's where Gettysburg, took place, if you remember that from our former president a couple of days ago. Gettysburg. Wow. I won't do any more Trump impersonating.
Gettysburg. Wow.
That's literally what he said about it. Let's not
do that.
But yes, Pennsylvania, everybody always said, why did you move all the way to LA instead of just going to New York for acting stuff? And I was like, I'm a deep end of the pool kind of guy. I knew if I had stayed in Harrisburg and tried to go to New York until I made it and could afford to move to New York, I would have just kept never going to New York. I would have kept finding excuses to not get there that day.
That's interesting that you said that, like the whole New York and LA thing. Did you have a thought where like, I think I'm like my personality or I'll fit in more or I'll get more jobs in LA as opposed to New York? Or was it like, oh, I'd rather live here than there? What was the ultimate deciding factor?
I think it was more of like, I've just always felt a call toward LA. I was almost born out here. And then 80s culture was so like LA heavy and Valley heavy and all that. So I probably, you know, felt frankly manipulated by the media. You know, just so much LA stuff on TV, so many sitcoms and whatnot, so many kids' shows were just like, yeah, we're running around in Encino is where we live, all that sort of jazz. Back to the beach with Annette Funicello, all that. So I've always just felt more of a call. And then as I was finishing up college, working on that associate's degree in theater and performing arts, which has really paid the bills. No, but it was a wonderful time. I absolutely love my college experience. But it was time to transfer to a bigger school with a bigger theater program and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you could probably get on Broadway and all that sort of thing. But these two girls that I was in college with, they said, we've got some friends living in L.A. They're doing pretty good. And we're thinking of moving out there. But we'd love it if a really gigantic dude would move out there with us in case we wind up in a really rough neighborhood. And so I was like, yeah, if I'm not in a school in New York or maybe Philly by the time, let's say, April of 2003, I'll shift gears and focus on moving to L.A. with you two. And so I wound up shifting gears. And then the one girl's dad owned a company where he could essentially move all of our stuff out here just on one of his trucks, totally free of charge. So that certainly helped the situation. Thanks, Monica. Wow. Thanks, Mr. Yergo.
Very cool. Let's talk about I Think You Should Leave. For several years now, been one of my favorite comedies. It's on Netflix. It's like 15-minute episodes. It's Tim Robinson, who worked on SNL for one season. I think his style of humor just like doesn't quite mesh with SNL. And this does, because this is his own show. So this is where he can really thrive and just like go crazy. I'm super jealous you were on that show, because I've auditioned for that show probably 5 times. Never booked it. Always want to be on that show. I know like 3 or 4 people that have been on the show. So I'm super jealous, because, you know, because anytime there's a show you really love, you're like,
right. It really seems to be that way. The one you want the most, you're just never going to get on.
Yeah.
It hurts. It hurts. Did I tell you my Shameless story real quick?
No, I'd love to hear it.
So basically, I had auditioned for SWAT like 5 or 6 times.
Sure.
And they just kept calling me in, and I was like, this is great. Any day now, I'm going to get on SWAT.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy Jared, shout out to Jared Bogosian. He's a wonderful guy. He's a great actor. He had auditioned for Shameless a bunch of times, and that's his favorite show. And he's like, oh, I love this show so much. I've auditioned so many times. I got to get on it. I can't wait to get on it. I book Shameless. And I text him, and I'm like, not trying to break your balls, but I'm in my trailer on Shameless for the day. TV co-star, one of my first. And he goes, I'm on set for SWAT today.
No.
And I was like, what? My head exploded. The Shameless crew had to clean me up and put me back together.
Oh, boy.
It was a mess. But yeah, it's such a weird, weird coincidence in Hollywood. Like, the show you want the most, you're not going to get.
Yeah.
But then, if you just keep trying, you'll get cool stuff.
Yeah, you can't choose what show you want to be on. And many times, it's not the shows that you would pick to be on. Right. They're not that they're not good shows. Just like, you can't be a fan of every single show.
Exactly.
Or it just doesn't make sense that you would be. I would think that you were some kind of robot if you liked every time a show.
Right. Got to have some discerning taste, folks.
Yeah.
Discern.
So speaking of discerning taste, I think you should leave.
It's definitely not for everybody, but it's wonderful.
I think it's for people that have senses of humor and don't take things too seriously.
Yeah.
Also, if you don't have a large attention span, they're 15-minute episodes. Yeah. It doesn't require a lot of time.
15 minutes with what? Like 5 or 6 sketches in each one?
Probably.
Like it's just boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like everything is very short. So if it's something you don't happen to enjoy, wait 2 minutes and you'll be on to something else. Now, you were in the pilot, actually.
I was in the very first episode, second sketch.
Where there it was like he's playing a lawyer. Yeah.
Is he?
he's just a guy. Acts like he's playing some kind of lawyer. Yeah. And then,
kind of a lawyer commercial.
And you were playing a part of a team called the Turbo Team.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to spoil it if you haven't seen it, but If you guys have seen it, if you know, you know. I mean, Steve Moulton is part of the Turbo team.
Whoa. It's an honor.
Yeah.
An honor and a bit of a privilege. And people are always asking me on social media, can I join the Turbo team? And I'm like, well, now I got to make up some rules, I guess, about how to join. But
oh, yeah. I mean, I would always say no. No.
I should say no.
You're not part of the Turbo team.
More often.
Yeah.
I really.
If it was me, I would have shirts. I would have merch that said Turbo team.
Oh, hell
yeah.
You
know, all those things.
I should start. At least, I know there's a lot of people on Instagram that make just, like, unofficial, I think you should leave merch. I should at least buy some Turbo Team stuff.
Probably on Etsy or something.
Nice people.
Yeah.
Exactly. Turbo Team shirts.
So.
We're a menace.
I'm curious. Now, did you just have one audition for I Think You Should Leave, like, when you booked it? Or was there, like, callbacks? And tell me about that whole process.
So I went in for an audition for the sketch where Tim comes into the meeting and sits on a whoopee cushion.
Right.
And I also went in for an audition for the hot dog guy crashes hot dog car. I believe the name of that sketch is just Brooks Brothers, which is pretty funny. Because, like, it has so very little to do with the clothing.
Right.
And then I got a self-tape for Turbo Team. These were very far apart. All of them were so far apart.
Yeah.
I'm almost inclined to think that the show didn't even have a name when I went in for the others. But I get a self-tape for this show called I Think You Should Leave. And basically, I just had to sort of perform the Mitch Bryant monologue and kind of try to make it make sense. They were,
right.
I believe it even said in the audition notice, like, this thing's pretty weird. If you can get it, like, get this humor,
yeah,
your chances will increase. So I read it, and I was like, okay, I think I figured this out. I remember watching my self-tape a few months ago, you know, just did it totally differently. And I remember, like I was supposed to be making a phone call. And instead of screaming, it's turbo time, I'm sort of laughing at what somebody says. And then, you know, the line is, and then they get real serious and they say, and I just went, it's turbo time. And I don't know how I got the part with the complete opposite reaction like that. But it was a miracle. Actor Skylar Caleb helped me film the self-tape. Shout out to Skylar.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that I got it. I was just like, that thing was really, really weird. Somehow nailed it. Got the part. And then when I got there, they had me and America Sebesimus, the other member of the Turbo team, and Mark Allen, the homeowner, in the trailer together. And they brought in a laptop and they said, okay, so here's Tim doing the Mitch Bryant monologue. You guys start watching that so that you can get ready to lip sync it for the filming of this. And I was like, oh, this makes a whole lot more sense now.
Yeah.
So it's a reenactment, so to speak. Yeah. So then that turned out to be pretty damn fun.
Nice.
I was back in my car before the sunset that day.
So were you actually, I don't remember, was Tim with you at the same time? Because I know he had like kind of a, almost like a thing where he was not with you guys.
Right.
Then he was also with you.
They had filmed his whole Mitch Bryant monologue totally separately, I'm assuming days before. And then he was there that day, but we weren't interacting with him much other than just saying hi and getting some direction from him and that sort of thing. Yeah. But do you want to hear what happened when I got back in my car?
I do.
Agent calls. Steve, are you going to reply and confirm this audition you have for two mornings from now? And I'm like, I just got done on set. What is it? And they go, you have an audition for Glow in 2 days. And I was like, Glow?
Wow.
One of my favorite shows ever?
Sure.
So I went in. I did that audition. I was told, perfect. Season 3 of Glow starts. The very first scene in the show is the scene that would essentially take place after the scene I auditioned for. So I was like, I guess nobody got it.
Yeah.
Or some poor soul got it and got completely eliminated.
Boy, yeah, we talked about that because I had Brittany Young on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Who plays Carmen. I guess her character name was Machu Picchu.
Machu Picchu.
Carmen was the person's name, not the character's name. She was so delightful. And then we already knew that they were not going to get picked up. So that was just like.
Broke my heart.
Me too, man. I loved that show. Like, oh, you know what? Here's a wild story.
Yeah.
So we know that Glow was like a real thing that happened in the real world, right? Mm-hmm. Like the actual women's wrestling.
Gorgeous ladies of wrestling.
I believe it was on Saturday mornings or something like that. Yeah. And the Marc Maron character, who's kind of a curmudgeon-y, the director guy, he was based on a real guy.
Yeah.
And I was at this event at the TV Academy one night, and this guy starts talking to me about things that he directed. And I go, this is the real Marc Maron guy.
Like, holy moly.
It was the real guy. It was the real dude.
That's awesome.
So I met that guy one night, and I didn't want to, like, you know, geek out too much.
Sure.
But I did, you know, fanboy out a little bit there.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I don't blame you for a second. I hope he was a good guy.
He seemed like a nice guy.
That's good.
Hustler. Hustler, though, you know? So So we had mentioned also we ate at Bruxy's.
Oh, yeah.
And across the street, there used to be a coffee shop.
Yes.
That was owned by Romano is his last name, I believe.
Yes.
And he played Damone.
Damone from Fast Times.
From Fast Times Ridgemont High.
And I believe the coffee shop was Damone's Coffee.
Really?
I think, well, I know on the menu there was Damone's Iced Tea, which is a reference.
That's amazing. Hey, Rat. Drink some of my iced tea.
Yeah. You want to come in for some iced tea?
Hey, Rat, watch me make this iced tea upside down on my head.
I can get you front row at iced tea.
No, I don't have any Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah. What was that actor's name? I'm IMDBing it real quick. You're right. Robert Romanus.
Romanus. Robert Romanus.
As Mike Damone from Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
What a great character. Scumbag. But like... As far as being like cool scumbag,
right?
Great character,
right? I mean, certainly one of the most memorable characters from the movie. But yes, a teenage dirtbag, as the gentleman from Wheatus would assign him. But I filmed an episode of a show called Impress Me in his coffee shop one day.
Yeah,
we had Roy from The Office was there. We had another guy come in for a few scenes by the name of Kevin Pollak.
Oh wow.
Told a really great story about...
From everything?
From everything. Told a great story about being on set for Cradle Will Rock. Have you seen Cradle
Will
Rock?
Sure, yeah.
Wonderful story. And then we also were visited and, you know, got to act with a guy named Weird Al that day.
Ah.
It was an incredible day. It was the hottest. It was like July 5th one summer and it was scorching hot and we were all dying, but we were having the most fun ever.
Nice.
Beautiful day at Damone's Coffee Shop, whatever it was called.
Wow, what a... group of people to be with that day.
It was pretty awesome. I was never sweatier in my entire life. It was embarrassing.
Because it was hot or because you were like nervous or a combination of both?
Mostly because it was hot.
Okay.
A little because I was nervous.
Okay. Gotcha.
But yeah, just scalding hot. I mean, we're in a steamy coffee shop on a super hot day. Can't turn the AC on for sound purposes. Whew.
Wow.
I'm amazed I didn't die that day. Weird Al tried to kill me. No, I'm kidding. Of course not.
I've heard this about him.
You've seen the movie, right, with Daniel Radcliffe?
Yeah.
So great.
It's great.
I won't go into it, but it's so great. Such a nice guy. Yeah. I got to meet him. I got to grab a picture with him.
Yeah.
I got to thank him for the Sharknado boost. Such a nice guy.
Oh, my goodness.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems, too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and, of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You were also on a show that I really liked. I thought should have been watched a lot more than it was, Young Rock. I really thought it was going to be a huge show. It lasted for a while. Three seasons.
Yeah.
But I don't think it ever really broke out like how it could have broke out. I mean, you had a TV show with The Rock on it.
Yep.
You know?
I agree. I feel like it did like pretty darn well, but you know, again, it was born right after the pandemic started.
If the timing was different, this show would have gone like 7 seasons and like you know,
I like the way you think. And then also it was only like 10 episodes per season, I think, maybe a tiny bit more. But yeah, I think that was a huge part of it. It was born right when the pandemic started. They started filming it in Australia, but then like The Rock had to film his stuff completely separately over here because in the early days of the pandemic, if The Rock were to go to Australia, he'd have to be locked in a hotel room for 2 weeks, literally locked in by the government. And so The Rock doesn't have that kind of time. I think that played a big part of it, like the fact that it was sort of these two separate teams on opposite sides of the world. And then we did what we could. It's a very fun, entertaining show. I know some wrestling fans love it. Some wrestling fans are like, I can't believe they didn't just get the real wrestler to play the guy or whatever.
Yeah.
But also we're talking about some of the stories in there take place 40 years ago, you know, even before The Rock was born. So what can you do? But it's darn fun. 3 seasons on Peacock. You can stream them all. And if you do, I get a little bit of money. So please do.
Yeah, watch that show.
And it's an honor to be a part of it.
Hey, I'm also on the show, Randall. It's Randall Park. I'm in the studio right now.
Randall Park. Good to see you, dude.
Look, that's the other thing. I'm a huge Randall Park fan.
I love him.
And a lot of times shows that he gets on just like blow up. And yeah. I was like, how? This has the Rock and Randall Park. How did it not blow up as big as it could have?
I know, right?
Now, I'll say this. This is what I love about the show. Pretty unique, I think, too,
yeah.
that it takes place in like three different time periods.
Right.
You have three different versions of The Rock. Three or four different
kind
versions.
Kind of four.
Yeah,
the
kind
Rock
of four.
Himself,
that's right.
And then the three younger versions.
Also, I went to the University of Nebraska. There was a lot of talk about Nebraska's football back then because Miami and Nebraska hated each other at that time.
Nice.
But yeah, it was a really funny show, too. And also, it was so cool to have a show where like there's all these kind of wrestling icons from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And we get to see them again, but kind of in a more, you know, behind the scenes.
Right.
There's not that much of them being in the ring. It's more like what's happening outside of the show.
Right.
Who's helping them get booked? Who doesn't get along with the other person or whatever it was.
Right.
You know, and I found that pretty fascinating. And I'll say this too. Like, you know, when I think that maybe was the first thing I saw you on. And I was like, oh, that guy's huge. He must have been some kind of wrestler. Remember I was like, were you actually a wrestler? And I was like, well, you just happened to kind of look like a guy that might be a wrestler.
Amazingly, no. I did do a tiny bit of, you know, scholastic wrestling when I was in like second grade, but I wasn't officially on the team. I was just so big that I was allowed to practice with the team.
Nice. Nice.
But that's not professional wrestling by any means.
I mean, I think it would count. look, as your new merch manager, let's also get shirts that say professional, hashtag professional wrestler. I woke up like this.
If only.
And then Randall Park will also make some shirts for you.
Thank you, Randall. And thank you for popping in.
Yeah. Bye, Randall.
But yeah, I love that show. I still can't believe it's gone. And they even released seasons 2 and 3 within the same calendar year, I think.
Yeah.
I remember that being a bit of a...
Well, and I mean, and also I didn't mention this. You play Haystacks Calhoun.
That's me.
Which I did not realize. I mean, I guess I just didn't. Maybe he was slightly before my time.
Yeah.
He was like to me, it was like a hillbilly Jim. I mean, that's the kind of character he was.
Yeah.
It wasn't the same wrestler, though.
Right.
But, I mean...
Haystacks Calhoun, ladies.
I mean, those
had
to be super comfy costumes to wear.
It was pretty comfy.
You know?
And they made that brown button-down Aloha shirt with the beautiful gold leaves on it. They custom built that just for me. And I was just like, does that mean I get to take it home from Australia? And they were like, no, it means we keep it and put it on somebody else and something else.
Well, here's what I'm interested in, too, because that's another show I auditioned for a bunch.
Yeah.
And you ended up going to Australia.
Oh, yeah.
And I did not go to Australia. So tell me much fun that... No, it's. I mean, it's...
I'm sorry, Brent.
I'm just thinking like...
But hey, for the next 3 minutes, you get to live through
That's right. So how was that going to Australia? I mean, probably not as fun as it would have been if there was not a pandemic at the time, but...
Right, absolutely. It was still a lot of fun, though. I'm a very mellow guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow, where to even begin? But basically, like, I auditioned for it in, like, September of 2021. Knowing that I wouldn't be going until Christmas time, I completely forget about it. And then I get the call that I've got the part. And then it's like 80 days until I'm going over to Australia. So I'm just having as much fun as I can, celebrating the fact that I got this gig. It gets to like December 10th, and I still don't know what day I'm flying over.
Oh, man.
They're just like, one day soon, we're going to call you and say, be ready in 2 days.
That would stress me out. That would be stressed out by that.
I'm kind of amazed that I wasn't, and I think it's because having lived the actor's life for so long and just being so darn used to, like, subject to change and, you know, every little thing is going to be scheduled, and then it's going to be altered. So I was just like, I need to just mellow out and just realize... Get things ready so that when they say jump, I can just jump.
Yeah.
So they called me on December 16th. They said, we're picking you up 2 nights from now, late at night, and then you're flying to Australia. And I was like, awesome. I'm ready. I've got everything lined up. Fly over there, get to fly business class. I could almost lay completely flat in my airplane seat.
Wow.
Delicious food. I watched Say Anything and like 5 other movies on the way there.
We're just talking about all the Cameron Crowe movies today.
Yeah, why not, right? I get in Australia. I got yelled at by customs because I was looking at my phone. And I have my glasses off. And apparently there were very small signs all around that said, like, don't be on your phone. Don't even be texting. And they were like 8 feet off the ground and not very easy to see. And I was just like, I'm sorry. My glasses are in my suitcase. I'm sorry. But the guy continued to yell at me. But eventually I just put my phone all the way away and apologized enough, I guess.
Mate, the sign's everywhere, mate. Oh, that's terrible, Australia. Actually, I should never do that. No wonder I did not get to go to Australia.
but it was so fun. And so they were like, be prepared because we might be sending you there and you will be locked in a hotel room for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You won't even have your own key. And I was like, okay, I'm mentally prepared for all this. Maybe 3 days before I fly, they call up and they're like, Australia has changed its rules around. So now we're going to fly you into Sydney. You'll be free to roam around Sydney for 2 weeks. And then because you've been in Australia for 2 weeks, then you can fly into Queensland where we're filming the show, which also has the strictest COVID laws. If you were flying from America straight into Queensland, which I don't think is even possible, you would be locked in a hotel room for 2 weeks. I was like, whoa, okay, I'll try the Sydney option. And so there I was on like a, oh man, I was in a hotel room on like the 24th floor, tons of just delicious international food to DoorDash up to my room all the time.
Yeah.
And then a friend of mine from acting class had been raised in Sydney, had moved back there. And she was like, I'm definitely taking you out at least once. So we went out and had a bunch of fun on like the day before New Year's Eve, played Pixar mini golf. Mm-hmm. If you're ever anywhere and you see a Pixar mini golf course popped up, you go in right away. Yes, you do. Look up Renee, B-O-U-R-K-E. You'll be able to IMDb. You're just fine. She's great. She's wonderful and lovely. She took me out for a big day of sweaty fun because, you know, Christmas time there is their dog days of summer.
Right.
So I was just sweating my brains out all the time.
Humid over there?
Very humid.
Yeah.
Very hot and sunny. And but it was fun, you know. We went marching around, played Pixar golf, had all sorts of fun for about 6 hours. And then I was like, okay, now I need to really hunker down. Hope I didn't just catch COVID so that I can fly into Gold Coast. I'm in Gold Coast for 2 more weeks. I still haven't filmed anything. I bump into the guy playing my tag team partner in the lobby.
He's nice.
Like, I just got here, mate.
Wow.
I was like, cool. I haven't heard anything about when I'm filming. And he's like, I just heard some other actor outside of Queensland, he got COVID. And he got us all an extra week here. And
oh,
I was like,
my
that's
goodness.
Awesome.
Was that true? So you ended up spending 3 weeks in Sydney?
Yeah. So 5 weeks, two in Sydney, three in Gold Coast. And
oh, my goodness.
It was glorious. It was absolutely glorious.
I thought this was going to make me feel better. I feel worse. I missed 5 weeks in Australia.
But if it helps, most of that time was me just locking myself in my room, taking like a 1 hour stroll each day to not go crazy, but really just being like, okay, I'm here and this place is beautiful, but I do need to not catch COVID. So
I feel like
that
was
my main focus.
Just saying that so I feel better. That's
okay. I mean, I am just saying it, but I also do hope you feel better.
No, it's fine.
You understand.
Honestly, like it probably still would have been kind of stressful because like, the whole time you're like, if I get COVID,
right?
I'm going to push back the whole production or they're going to find another actor.
Yeah.
That's what you're really scared about.
That was the scariest thing.
Yeah.
The whole time after they told me I got the part, I'm like, how is there not a dude in Australia that could possibly do this? And at one point they were like, they're asking if you want to do your own wrestling or if you want a stunt double. And I was like, if I asked for a stunt double, why wouldn't they just have him play Haystack Calhoun? I was so freaking scared.
Oh,
so I was like, of course I want to do my own wrestling. Of course I don't need a stunt double.
See, I thought you were going to say you wanted a stunt double so that you wouldn't get COVID from other people. That's the way I thought, but you thought the opposite. Yeah,
right.
Okay, that makes sense too.
I was like, if they can find a guy to be my stunt double that's already there, why not just cast him?
Like, could just replace me. Yeah, you don't want to get Wally pipped.
Yeah, I was like, I got to do my own wrestling. And so then one morning, they're like, hey, tomorrow morning, you're going to get in the van at this time. You're going to go train for wrestling for a day. And I get in the van, and Joseph, who plays The Rock's dad, gets in the van. And then this other guy gets in the van, and we're all wearing masks, you know? I can't really tell who anybody is. But he's like, hey, you must be Steve. You're playing Haystacks? And I go, yeah. And he goes, Chavo Guerrero Jr., nice to meet you. And I was like,
oh.
He goes, do you have any wrestling experience? I said, let's say no. And he goes, all right, well, we're not going to have you do anything too crazy, but you're going to do a little bit of wrestling today. And I was like, sounds awesome.
Am I crazy, or did he also work on Glow? Did he not work like?
I wouldn't be surprised if he did.
Yeah, I think maybe he did. Like maybe help train some people on.
Yeah,
I could be wrong though. I mean, I know he's a huge name, and
I think he did. I think he did all the stunt coordinating for the Iron Claw, that new movie that.
Nice.
Should have been up for some Oscars, and amazingly, like I don't think was up for any.
Yeah.
For crying out loud! But yeah, he's in the very first match in that, and I think he did all the wrestling choreography. If I'm not mistaken, I might be mistaken.
Okay.
Chavo, I love you, buddy.
Well, congrats on that, man. I'm a big fan of that show, and, glad you got to be a part of it. And
I wish they would have brought him back. People were always like, oh, are you going to get him to bring Haystacks back? I'm like, you do need to understand he's a character that takes place within a flashback, within another flashback from before The Rock was born. He might not come back. What are you going to do?
He could have only come back if all of a sudden Freddy Krueger was on the show.
There you go.
And then there's a dream sequence.
Oh, my God.
Where they flash back in the dream.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And he uses haystacks.
Sets haystacks on fire.
Oh, no.
He turns into literal haystacks that he sets on fire.
Oh. But Haystacks Calhoun, what a character. There's a thing on his Wikipedia, I think, and it says something about, like, you know, a wrestler who somehow always managed to weigh in at exactly 601 pounds. And I always thought that was hilarious.
That's hilarious.
601.
Wow.
That's another reason I thought I wouldn't get it. I was like, I'm big. I'm not that big.
Not but even.
They were like, you know, yeah. The camera adds 10. Costuming. It'll work out.
Camera adds like, 250, 270 pounds.
It was scary. It was scary.
Well, hey, before we get out of here, I need to get 3 quick recommendations from Steve Moulton.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. What is the hidden gem show or movie that you love that people may not know?
Right now, and basically for the last, like, year-ish, I've really been in love with Shorzy. It's a Canadian show.
Yeah.
Spinoff from Letterkenny.
Yeah.
And it's about the very foul-mouthed character Shorzy, whose face we never see on Letterkenny. Mm-hmm. He has gone up to Sudbury, where I think his family is from, and he's playing in a league called the, like, North Ontario Senior Hockey Organization, a.k.a. the No Show. And so we see his face now. He's a full character now. And he's basically on this team that's doing so badly. In the first episode, the very, very, very gorgeous owner of the team threatens him. She's like, you guys stink. I'm folding the team. And Shorzy says, what if we never lose again? And she's like, how can you guarantee that? And he says, you put bums in seats, we'll never lose again. And that's how the show starts. And the first season is so beautiful. Second season, I wasn't quite as crazy about. It's kind of really just mostly a setup for season 3. But season 3 just got announced.
Nice.
Shorzy. It's very foul-mouthed. Maybe don't watch with the kids, but it's so damn funny.
Look, Letterkenny has been plugged a lot on this show.
Yeah.
And, you know, so Shorzy's a spin-off of that. So we're fans of that show. Heck, I watched season 1 of Shorzy. It was a lot of fun.
I love it.
What is the show or movie that you watch just for fun?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the freshest of all of those is, for better or worse, I have started re-binging Entourage.
Okay. Yeah.
Probably for my fourth time. Before I was even in SAG, I got to do some background on Entourage.
Oh, nice.
For the episode where Vince's 30th birthday party is being sponsored by a bunch of companies on the Queen Mary.
Oh, wow.
And I was playing just a bouncer there, and all the other bouncer guys were hanging out way over and holding. And I was like, I'm on the set for Entourage. There's beautiful women everywhere. I'm going to stay right near the action. So a guy comes over there. I hear somebody be like, we need one of the security guys. A guy comes, grabs me. He goes, stand right here. Do not move. Thankfully, you're tall. I can see you over the crowd. 2 minutes later, he brings over 2 Victoria's Secret models. And he's like, these two are going to be escorting Vince's cake to him. Oh, and your job is to act like you're their security, swatting dudes away from trying to touch their butts. And I was like, whoa.
Wow.
So Entourage always has a special place in my heart. If you were to rewatch it now, it's very much like, here's how not to behave as a person.
Yeah,
But it's still got some pretty good laughs here and there.
Yeah.
Victory. Victory. Yeah. There you go. Good old Johnny Drama.
What is the show or movie that inspires you?
Oh, wow. I really did like, a lot of people totally hated it, but I really liked The Offer about the making of The Godfather.
The Offer was great,
dude. I enjoyed it just fine. And so many people are like, this stinks so bad and it's untrue and blah. And I'm like, but it's still like pretty darn entertaining.
I got the free trial of Paramount Plus just so I could watch The Offer.
Nice. Yeah, that's probably up there. You know, I love seeing stuff about classic Hollywood and about, you know, people having to figure out how to make the thing. And,
and
especially when it turns into something that was so incredibly huge, like The Godfather.
Well, that's interesting. You talk about being inspiring because it is like one of those things, like, I don't think anybody thought it was going to be as big as it was.
Exactly.
And then it became that. So, you know, who knows?
Exactly. Yeah. But in terms of if you ever need me to just get inspired on like a bummer of a day, man. Big Trouble in Little China or Flash Gordon, I'm back in business, let me tell you.
The movie Flash Gordon or the TV show Flash Gordon?
The movie.
Nice.
With good old Sam Jones III and...
And the soundtrack by Max Queen.
Monsignor. Soundtrack by Queen, yeah.
Flash! Ah!
If I'm ever really, really bumming out, I'll take just a day to myself. I'll watch Big Trouble in Little China, Flash Gordon, and I'm just like, oh, yeah, those guys, they just figure it the hell out and they go.
Nice.
Like, that's what I got to remember to do.
Well, if you'd like to get more Brentfest stuff, such as pics of Steve Moulton and I enjoying our Brentfest from Bruxy's, go to my website, brentpope.com. You can listen to all the Brentfest episodes there. You can see clips from all my TV appearances. and the official Breakfast store with a bunch of fun stuff. Shirts, mugs, stickers, Steve Moulton. You're not part of the Turbo Team. Scarves and ascots. 3 left in stock. $7.99. It's all in there, guys. People of Earth, do yourself a favor by picking up something from the Breakfast store. You will be so glad you did. And if you enjoy the show, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to Breakfast. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Breakfast is being enjoyed all over the United States and in 58 countries across the globe. So trust me, my Breakfast Burrito Brigade, we are just getting started. Special thanks to my studio engineer, Marco Leon, and everyone at the tiny, fabulous Tiny Studio LA, tinystudioLA.com, for making me sound so good. Steve Moulton, what is next for you and where can we find you on social media?
I've been auditioning like crazy. I'm not sure what's next, but I'm just going to always keep trying. And I'm on social media. I'm on pretty much everything as at Big Steve Moulton. I'm most active on Instagram. I even have a Cameo, yet every time I try to make it work, it doesn't want to work at all. But they did invite me on to be a talent creator and sell cameos. So one of these days, I'm going to do the exact right troubleshooting thing and actually be able to make cameos. But all of them, at Big Steve Moulton, M-O-U-L-T-O-N.
Nice. Steve Moulton, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. And with that, we put another Turbo Sharknado level chicken and waffles episode. They go together, guys. Breakfast with Brent Pope in the old to-go bag. See you. Enjoy Breakfast with Brent Pope? Help support it by buying some awesome swag like the comfy shirts and the beautiful coffee mugs. Go to breakfaststore.com.